Our scripture for today is on the back of your bulletin, from the 5th chapter of Genesis and from the 7th chapter of Matthew. Genesis 5:21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. And then from Matthew 6, words of Jesus, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of the word. I think I probably should tell Connor that first scripture reading is the answer to the question. Do you know the question? The question is, who lived the longest as far as the Bible is concerned, but died before his father? And the answer is Methuselah. He lived 965 years. That's what the Bible says. And his father was no more because God took him. See, he never died. So Methuselah, I know all of you have heard that one, haven't you? Yes, Methuselah is the one who lived the longest in the Bible but died before his father. All right. I've been thinking about how to address this message to Bosquedale Baptist Church. And I've had some real hesitancy about starting off with what is not particularly, not especially a real positive note. But the fact is, we only start the process of solving problems by realizing and admitting that we have a problem. And we have a problem. So this problem that we really know that we have and that we talk about occasionally, but we're not specifically as a church working on this problem. You know, no suggestions, no actions on possible solutions. Here's the problem. And it's one we need to address because it's Father's Day. That's a great day, I might add. I like it. The problem is, I'm not speaking to young fathers in this hour. I'm not speaking to young fathers who are present with us today. Not delivering Sunday messages to them virtually ever over the past few years. Now, I like us old, or maybe I should say older fathers, and we have several of you here with us, several of us who are present on Sundays to hear the word of the Lord from this pulpit that I'm assigned to as your pastor for now. But I'm addressing you fathers today whose children are grown on their own. Some of us are grandfathers, and our young adults' sons either don't have kids yet or they don't bring them to Sunday services here. And folks, you know, this is a big problem for the future of Bosquedale Church in the pretty near future. We need younger fathers here. We need younger fathers bringing their children to grow up in a Christian church setting, relating to other church families and developing into the good kind of youth groups that we've had here in the past. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
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 We really need this. So my message this morning is going to go indirectly to any young fathers that you can reach out to. And that's the way I'm kind of going to address my thoughts on what I believe is God's word that, and what it has to say, what it has to teach us about Christian, God-fearing fatherhood. So, I want you to take this message to some young men, young fathers. I'm going to call on you to be Bosquedale's ambassadors to young fathers and fathers-to-be. Yes, indeed, it is Father's Day. And so we ask the fitting question for the day. What is a father? What is a father? To some, he is a biological incidental. To some, he's an economic necessity. To some, a father is simply the responsible party. Well, I don't know how much more we could add, but how much more we need to add here. But that's a lot of what we think. And the root meaning for the word father is the source or the prototype. I read somewhere and then I lost my source, but I like this quote. I think it comes from the Venerable Anonymous, who said, "The father is that one from whom I get my strength." I like that. So let me just say, the family with children, which has the privilege of them growing up to maturity under the influence of a father who personifies integrity and goodness and all of those good graces of character that God wants to see nourished and flourishing, that family with children is fortunate indeed. Oh, the good word for us here today is God can help any man be a good father.
Amen. Amen.
As a father, a man is potentially the child's finest teacher about God. And you good and godly mothers who are just about to jump up and say, "Well, what about what I've done? You know, what I'm doing?" Wait just a minute and let me explain that statement, potentially the child's finest teacher about God. This is what I mean. And you remember this. When teaching his disciples how to pray, you find this in Matthew the 6th chapter and in Luke the 11th chapter, it's the model prayer. Jesus taught them to address Almighty God, to address the sovereign of the universe, to address the eternal one as our Father, which art in heaven. The address Jesus actually used was Abba, Father. And that's best translated more like the word of fondness that we often use, Daddy. Jesus was using a term of endearment and intimate relationship. And that statement by Jesus for our use was a great compliment to the father of a home like where Jesus was born and grew up to maturity. The statement also provides us with insight into the character of God, into that character of God where his great desire for relationship is for each of us individually. And so I'll repeat, God can help any man be a good father. Christ will help any man be a good father. Now, this was certainly recognized by those who were with Jesus and observing Jesus during his earthly ministry. There are many illustrations in the New Testament of fathers who came to Jesus in need of his help. And he always responded affirmatively. In John's Gospel, chapter 4, we read of a royal official whose son was facing sure and quick death. And the father came to Jesus in his distress. That's in John 4, 46 and following. And Jesus of Nazareth was the person there. That Jesus met the need in the life of the son, which the father knew he wanted to meet, but he knew he couldn't supply that need. And the fathers of this church and future fathers who are going to perhaps be here need to know that Christ will make a contribution through any father to their children, to your children. If you're thinking as a grandfather, that is, if our fathers now and in the future will just come to Jesus, come to Jesus, let him do his work of grace and power in our lives. Sometimes work we cannot do, like the healing of this royal official's boy. And it doesn't have to be so dramatic as physical healing, although it may be. But maybe just Christ entering into our children's lives more spiritually and having them turn away from the lure of worldliness, turning away from being attracted to godlessness. Another father, a religious leader of the synagogue by the name of Jairus. You remember Jairus. He came to Jesus on behalf of his daughter who was at the point of death. And this story is in Mark chapter 5. Jesus, as Lord, responded immediately to this father's plea for help. It's important, again, to note here, the father approached Jesus for his help because he realized two things. First, that as a father, he deeply desired restoration of life for his daughter. And sometimes life restoration for our children that we fathers seek is for spiritual life restoration. That was the first thing. And then the second, he recognized in Jesus a healing that he, as a caring father, that healing was beyond his ability. But it was not beyond that of God in his Christ. And he came to Jesus in faith. And Jesus demonstrated his miraculous power by restoring that daughter to life because of the Father's great faith. That's what the Scripture tells us. Look at, if you want to read that, it's in Mark 5, 35 through 43. And so fathers, family leaders, we can be assured that Jesus as Lord wants to help us in any crisis that confronts us. Mm-hmm. One more incident. Matthew records the plight of a father with a child with epileptic seizures. That's in Matthew 17. And once again, it was the father's faith in Jesus that resulted in the complete healing of this man's son. With faith in his love and in his power, we fathers need to come to Jesus Christ with the belief that he will help us as we seek to minister to the needs of our children. Again, Christ will help any man to be a good father. God is Jesus, and his third party of reality is as the Holy Spirit. The Spirit also will help us, will help any man to be a good father. Now, I'm constantly impressed that many Christians, including fathers, are not really familiar with the promises of the Scriptures concerning the Holy Spirit being at work in our heart and lives every day. Sometimes we just simply do not call on the genuine power of the Holy Spirit. Well, because sometimes we get involved with perhaps inflated claims of some people of other faiths who take what appears to be sort of a mystical approach to God's Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I'm hesitant to say it, but I will, for some fathers. Maybe it just isn't what we see as manly. What I must say here is that we must not be turned off. We must not be frightened away from making what the Scriptures advocate as a personal, everyday life response to the Holy Spirit for His divine and His present help. You see, here's the truth of the Spirit for fathers. Well, for all of us. It's for our own personal inner soul, because that became the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit at the moment of our conversion. That's in 1 Corinthians 3:16. That's also in 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20. God in the Holy Spirit took up that dwelling place to do His gracious work within you on a day-to-day basis. And so one of the most important urgencies that I can urge upon all fathers this special day is that we fathers must not get stuck in ignorance concerning the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You see, the Holy Spirit is seeking to reproduce within all Christian fathers the very character and personality of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not my notion. That's very biblical. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit, what the Spirit puts into you, the fruit of the Spirit is the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That fruit of the Spirit is described by Paul. It's really a verbal portrait of the character of Jesus. So, if I may, my directive to all fathers and all fathers to be, and take note on this so you can give that same directive, do not seek to really fulfill your responsibilities as a father without letting the Holy Spirit be your help. He can, He will help any man to be a good father.
Yes, He will.
And then also I would say to all fathers, join in with God in the giving of God's help. You see, you yourself can give good gifts to your children. Take your bulletin, turn to the back of the bulletin for a moment. Look at our second scripture for today, Matthew 7, 9 through 11. What do you see there? You see that Jesus says, you know how to do it. You know how to choose good gifts for your children rather than the bad ones. That's exactly what it says. And what He did there was to use the example of a good earthly relationship between a father and his children to describe the relationship between God and His children, between God and us. He speaks of the fact that an earthly father seeks to give only good gifts to his children, will not deliberately give that which is harmful and destructive. So then, let me suggest here, scripturally, are some good gifts that we can point fathers to. What do you give as good gifts? Well, you know, bread, excuse me, bread, fish, there are other good gifts. Give your child a good name. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 22:1. A good name is to be chosen over great wealth. Now, of course, we who are already fathers have made name choices. But we can suggest to future fathers that a person's name has lifetime significance.
All right, all right.
Well, that plus, as a general rule, the name we represent as our family name should, for our children, it can and it should represent character and an example. Yes, I know the McDaniels family. That's the name. I know what that name stands for. Yes, I know the Thomas family. That's the name. I know what that name stands for. And our names can be what we can help develop in our own character and people see in us. An example, a heritage of which our children can be proud. Give them a good name. Give your child a humble faith. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists. So give your child the possibility of a humble faith. A genuine faith is described in terms of sincerely believing with all your heart that God is real. That's faith. Give your child love. Be available. Give time. Express appreciation to your child. Don't be stingy with praise. Help your child to accept and to appreciate himself or herself. Give your child a positive, optimistic perspective toward life, a positive, optimistic perspective toward people. With this being Father's Day, I want to point my final remarks about children toward sons. Sons who will probably one day be fathers. Sons who might be here. Sons who you know. Sons you can take your notes to. You are taking notes, aren't you? Any and all parents need to know they truly can help their sons become good fathers someday. God can help. Christ can help. The Holy Spirit can help. You can help. And wives, mothers, a wife can be a help to her husband to be a good father. And fathers, win your sons to Jesus Christ. Teach them so that someday they will be worthy fathers with their children. And I don't want to skip over the mothers and the wives. You know, we're great guys, aren't we, fathers? But the truth is, a man cannot fully be the father to his children that they deserve and need without the sympathetic support and cooperation with his role as father by a good wife. Amen. So the word to wives, to mothers, is put your own faith in God and seek in all ways to help your husband be the best possible man he can be. Mm-hmm. Put that down in your notes. Right. And the church, our church, the church can and must help fathers to become better fathers, to be good fathers. We here, all of us of Bosquedale Baptist Church, must provide opportunities for enriching family relationships and improving the quality of home life. And each father must help himself to be a good father. And we can do this. We fathers can do this. Those fathers that you're going to go and help, they can do this by letting Christ come into our hearts to help us, by letting the Bible assist us in being a good father, by making a lot out of prayer, and by letting the church have a vital place in our family life that we might be better fathers. And may God, I want to say, greatly enrich your Father's Day, all day today. For you fathers and for you as you honor your fathers. Amen. And we'll take that amen. Thank you. Amen.